Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for the wonderful privilege to worship you today. That's the reason we're here this morning, Lord, to lift you up and to honor and glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We love you from the depths of our heart. You've been so good and blessed in so many ways, and we appreciate it. Thank you for all your manifold blessings to us, Lord. You've blessed us beyond measure, and we appreciate it from the depths of our heart. Lord, you see all these requests that were made known this morning. I pray you'd be with Danielle, with the blood clot. Lord, would you touch her in a special way? Be there with her today and touch her and undertake for this situation, Lord. Help Brother Hart, dear Lord. You know all about him. I pray you'd work there in his behalf and help him. These physical needs, encourage his heart. Lift him up, Lord, and help him in a mighty way. We thank you for the victories that were won there as Wendy Jarvis went to the jail yesterday, Lord, and ministered. Thank you for these two ladies that gave their heart to you. I pray you'd encourage them this morning. Defeat the devil for them. Put a hedge around them that the devil wouldn't be able to get through and touch them. And I rebuke the enemy right now in the name of Jesus that would come in like a flood and try to hinder them spiritually. Lord, would you touch them today? Would you help their influence to just ripple out through the rest of those ladies there in that jail, Lord, today? Yes. Bless those that ask for Bibles, Lord. I pray you touch them and help them today. Minister to their heart. Lord, I pray that you would be with the Holden family today. Lift them up. Yes. Give them your grace and your strength. Be with those kids today, Lord. Touch them. Be with them, Lord. I pray you carry them today. Would you just put your loving arms underneath them today? For the glory of God, be with this bereaved wife, dear Lord, and family. Oh, God, touch them and help them to look to you today. Help them, Lord, to look to the Master, the one, the only one that can give them real comfort and cheer today. Touch them, Lord, in a mighty way. Lord, you see and you know all about the services coming up this week. You know how much we need your touch and your help throughout this week, Lord. We need your protection and your blessing and your help. We need your help to every one of the workers, Lord, those that are gathered here up front this morning, those that can't be here, Lord. You know how the devil's going to be fighting behind the scenes and fighting them spiritually and fighting them and tempting them and abusing them mentally, Lord. Lord, would you just wrap your arms of love around every worker this week and give them your help and your blessing and your touch and defeat the devil. Put a hedge around this whole property, Lord, that the devil wouldn't be able to get through. I pray you just help us to circle this place with prayer and saturate this place with prayer. And Lord, just trust and believe you for victories to be won, Lord, and for your kingdom to come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, I pray for every soul that'll show up this week. Lord, those that'll be traveling in, protect them. Be with them, Lord. Give them all traveling mercies as they come in. And Lord, I pray that somehow you'd speak to every heart. Oh, precious Holy Ghost, would you just settle down? Would you just settle down? Oh, God, whether they're in a service or whether they're out there in an activity or whether they're in their bunk room, Lord, I pray you'd speak. Oh, 24/7, Lord, just speak throughout this week in a mighty way and may a spirit of conviction just settle down. Oh, God, would you crown this week with your victory and your glory and your blessing. May the Holy Ghost just have its right away in our midst throughout this week and give victory. And Lord, bless Brother Manley and give him the knowledge and the help that he needs. Bless in a mighty way. Give your help and your touch throughout the week, and we'll praise you and give you the glory. Now bless in the services today. Bless the group as they sing. Touch them in a special way, Lord, and give them your anointing today. And bless us to worship you and give you glory and praise, and we'll give you that today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, as the ushers are coming here in just a moment, I want to remind everyone about a few announcements. Just check your bulletin for those. But there's also something in there about Family Fun Day coming up just around the corner, right on the heels of CCYC. That's just how it fit in our calendar this year. But make sure you should have one of these. Make sure you invite your coworker and their family. This is the number one event I love to invite people to throughout the entire year. This is the event everybody loves. So take opportunity, use that opportunity, and invite some folks. Gentlemen, come and take up the morning offering.
Thank you, Abby. It's good to have you back home, at least for a couple days. I know you're traveling all over the summer, but we're glad you're here for this service. A couple of quick things I want to let you know about. We've been putting together a security team that will help us out throughout our services. Kendall England is heading that up, and he's asked several of you to be a part of that. We're going to have a quick security team meeting following the service tonight, just as a way of launching that. And there's a sign-up sheet several of you have already signed up for that are on that team. But the meeting is for everyone tonight. It'll be right at the end of the service. Also, it's good to have the Oliver family back with us today. And somehow I got my wires crossed. I knew their I knew Angie and the children were going to be here, but I didn't know that Dr. Steve Oliver is going to be here. So, as of about, 45 minutes ago, an hour, Dr. Steve Oliver will be speaking in the evening service. So, Dr. Oliver was one of our pastors here for a number of years, and come back and hear him speak tonight, and I really appreciate that, and it's good to have you all here, so thank you for doing that. A couple of announcements for CCYC. This year, all of the evening services will be held right here at Faith Community Chapel, and then a lot of the other activities, will be on the campus all over the place. If you'd like to volunteer, we're still looking for a few volunteers. If there's always need for help in the dining hall, please see Pastor Jeff or Angie Crook, and they will put you to work, and I know you'll be happy to be a part of the team. Please be in prayer for our young people. And because the services will be here in our church, all of you are welcome to attend. The young people will take up most of this auditorium, but you're welcome to come in the back and be a part of praying for the young people and supporting them. And we want to thank you in advance for that. Several of you helped us to purchase picnic tables. We were able to put out several of those. You'll see them new in different parts of campus. I can't remember our numbers. I think we need a few more of them to be paid for. So if you have any interest in that, want to help pay for those picnic tables, you're welcome to do that. I think they're $125 apiece. A number of them have already been paid for, but if you wanted to do that, we put that out there. One more thing tonight, we will be taking a special offering to cover some of the expenses for Carolina Christian Youth Camp. And so if you want to come prepared to give for that, we would appreciate that. Lots of offerings today, but that's all right. There's no obligation. You give as the Lord leads. It is a privilege to have Union Bible College here with us this morning, the men's quartet. And they're going to minister to us in song for quite a while. I've asked them to sing like 5 or 6 songs here. And just, I want us to draw our hearts together and worship the Lord as they sing. And guys, come and minister to us this morning.
Of sin,
he lifted me
with a love that knows no end.
He took my hand,
pulled me out of the seeking sand, gave new life that never ends. I'm so glad that Jesus came and lifted me.
Fighting alone in the battle, struggling through each day, searching for survival, but none was on the way.
The merciful hand of Jesus came beckoning from above, and the moment that I trusted him, he filled me with his love.
He lifted me
out of the lowly depths of sin.
He lifted me
with a love that knows no end.
He took my hand,
pulled me out of the seeking sand, gave new life that never ends. I'm so glad that Jesus came and lifted me.
Looking over the wonders I've seen along the way, I've been touched by his power, I've been blessed in many ways.
But nothing will ever compare to the blessing I received that day my name was added to the list of the redeemed.
He lifted me
out of the lowly depths of sin.
He lifted me
with a love that knows no end.
He took my hand,
pulled me out of the sinking sand, gave new life that never ends. I'm so glad that Jesus came and lifted me.
He lifted me
out of the lowly depths of sin.
He lifted me
with a love that knows no end.
He took my hand,
pulled me out of the sinking sand, gave new life that never ends. I'm so glad that Jesus came and lifted me.
He took my hand,
pulled me out of the sinking sand, gave new life that never ends. I'm so glad that Jesus came and lifted me.
Amen.
many years he walked in darkness as he groped along the streets with his hands stretched out for pennies or for just a bite to eat. It's the story of the blind man who met Jesus on his way, and with the master's touch, the man looked up as the scoffers heard him say,
"Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free." One day he touched the crippled man and made him walk again, and the master saw with pleasure the story of that crippled man. I once was bound by sin, but since the master came, oh, praise his name, thank God I now can say,
somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. Oh, I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, since he touched me,
I now am free.
Thank God I'm free.
Thank God I'm free.
Praise God. Well, we are so happy to be with you all here at Faith Community Chapel. And from what I hear, or from what I've seen, we're going to be around here for the next week or so. And I'm going to be one of those guys that's tired at the end of the week. I'm an early to bed, early to rise type of guy. And so is Jamin down there. And these two in the middle, they stay at their night owls, you know. So they're going to be tired at the end of the week, but it's going to be different, you know. So, but we're happy to be here. We're going to introduce ourselves really quick. At the piano, I think it's one of your own, Abby Smith. She is from right here in Thomasville, North Carolina, and she is a senior. Okay, go ahead. Okay. She's a senior in the ministerial department. As for myself, my name is Clayton Plemons. I'm from Rochester Hills, Michigan. Hold your applause, please. And I'm a sophomore in the ministerial department.
Well, it is good to be here this morning. My name is Ben Forsey. I am from Trafalgar, Indiana, and I'm also a sophomore in the ministerial department.
Hello, my name is David Hill. I'm from Frankfort, Indiana, and I'm a freshman in the music department.
My name is Jamin Edwards. I'm from Ridgeville, Indiana, and I'm a senior in the music department.
Well, I think I speak for all of us when I say we've probably all been through some hard times, whether it be financial difficulty or the loss of a loved one, whatever it may be. I'm sure we've all gone through hard times before. I remember when I was in high school, I went through a time in my life that was pretty lonely, and I really struggled for a while. And I remember before I was saved, I tried to put my trust and find fulfillment in things of this world. I mean, maybe it was a car. I tried to find my happiness in a car, a girlfriend, or sports, or whatever the case may be. I tried to find my fulfillment in those things. But I'm so thankful that one day I found Jesus, and I could trust in him. When the hard times come in life, I learned I can trust in Jesus. This next song we're about to sing says, "Through it all, I learned trust in Jesus." And I'm so glad I found that to be my testimony this morning. And just listen to the words as we sing this next song.
Mm-hmm.
That I learned that no matter what I go through, Jesus will always be right there for me. This song we're about to sing is called I Can Pray. And I love what the first verse says. It talks about how we may never become someone famous. We may never meet someone famous like the President of the United States or anything like that. But today, at any time, I can call on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He'll always, always be right there for me.
Sing a song that brings people to their feet. Mighty men of world renowned I may never get to meet, but I have an invitation to hasten to God's throne, to lay my burdens at His feet and make my petitions known.
I can pray. Though the storm around me rages, I can trust the rock of ages when I pray. There's a peace I can't explain when I call upon His name. I just know I'm not the same when I pray.
When it seems the road I'm traveling just doesn't have an end, I know that He will always be my brother and my friend. For He never will forsake me. He will always hear my plea,
because He stands beside the Father, interceding just for me. I can pray. Though the storm around me rages, I can trust the rock of ages when I pray. There's a peace I can't explain when I call upon His name. I just know I'm not the same when I pray. It pays to pray. It pays to call upon His name. It pays to pray, to see a miracle displayed. You'll forget the word impossible when you seek the Savior's face. You know He will make a way. It pays to pray. It pays to pray. It pays to call upon His name. It pays to pray, to see a miracle displayed. You'll forget the word impossible when you seek the Savior's face. You know He will make a way. It pays to pray. There's a peace I can't explain when I call upon His name. I just know I'm not the same when I pray.
Soul is reminded,
every time I call on his name.
I've been to Mount Calvary,
and now I can say,
I've been through the blood. I've been through the blood. Jesus Christ has cleansed every stain and washed me in the blood. We've been through the blood. We've been through the blood. Jesus Christ has cleansed every stain. Praise God, we've been through the blood.
Amen. Thank you guys for encouraging our hearts with those songs. Some of them are songs I knew, a few of them were newer, but they were all encouraging. Praise the Lord for that. I want to speak to you just for a few moments this morning, and then at the end of the service, I would like to take up an offering for Union Bible College and to help these guys with their expenses as they've been traveling this summer. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, and we started a new series last week, and for those of you who are worried, I am not going to preach an entire full message this morning. I just want to leave one truth with you as we begin to head into this busy youth camp week. Hebrews chapter 2, I want to read a couple of verses of scripture. You've been sitting for a while. Why don't you stand for a few moments? And if you want to follow along, Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by the angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We're talking about Jesus being greater than any other god, any other religious system, or anything in our world today. Do you like positive news stories? Okay, do you like negative news stories? Do you like news at all? Let's start with that. Okay, maybe you don't like news. I try to keep up with what's going on. I don't check it every hour, every minute, or even every day, but I do check the news every once in a while just so I don't miss something. And I have noticed that whenever there is some type of rescue that happens, it captures the attention of the world or the nation or the country. A number of years ago, there was that plane that landed in the Hudson River. How many have heard about that plane? And Captain Sully, who piloted it and made it to where they safely landed in the river and everyone was rescued. That was pretty incredible. And I think all of us heard about that. Well, a couple of weeks ago, and I don't remember how long it was, I came across a story from France that was positive. Not a lot's positive coming out of France, but anyway, they're on a different wavelength than the United States, I think. But this was a positive news story. There was a man, I think he was 22 years old, walking down the sidewalk. He happened to look up and see a child dangling from a balcony of a tall building. Did you hear the story? If you didn't, I have brought some pictures. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So let me show you this picture. This guy has already climbed. He's on the second story balcony now. And he's not even from France. He's from the country of Mali, and he's an immigrant into France for a couple of years, I think, looking for a job, trying to get acclimated to start a new life. He's walking down the sidewalk, minding his own business. He looks up, he sees this toddler hanging off the balcony, and he begins to climb. And at first, I saw this picture, and I thought, why doesn't the guy at the top rescue him? But actually, that guy is from a neighboring balcony. And there is a barrier. You can barely see it there. Go back one picture, Johnny, if you don't mind. You see that barrier there? I don't know why, but for some reason, he's not able to reach the child very well. So this guy takes it upon himself to climb 4 stories up this building. He takes a running leap. He jumps up onto a brick wall, and then he climbs onto this balcony. He climbs onto the next balcony. He gets to the top. I think I have a final picture. He makes his way over the top of the railing, grabs a hold of this toddler, and literally saves his life. That's a powerful rescue, especially when it's caught on camera. And now, this guy had an audience with the president of France. I think I have a picture of that. I mean, he's from the country of Mali. He doesn't speak, I think he speaks French, but he's not, you know, as well educated that you would think you would need to be to meet the president. And yet, you do something like he just did, and the news goes around the world. It's a pretty powerful rescue. The president of France offered to, invited him to apply for citizenship, and he got a job with a fire company out of the deal. A lot of things have happened really, really good for this young man after this incredible rescue. We like rescue stories, especially if they have positive endings. There's many rescue stories in Scripture. Noah and the Ark. Noah and his family were saved from the flood. Joshua and Caleb, they're in a foreign land, and they were hidden by Rahab and were rescued. King David, before he was king, was rescued from a paranoid king by the name of Saul, who was out to get him and out to kill him. You remember Peter was in prison, and the church was praying for Peter, and then he was rescued by an angel. Even the miraculous things that happened around Jesus' birth included a rescue. Joseph and Mary were made aware in a dream, Joseph was, by an angel, that there was a plot to kill Jesus, and they escaped to Egypt to save the life of Jesus. There's really 3 parts of a rescue in order for a good rescue to happen. Number one, there has to be someone that needs to be rescued. That was the child dangling from the balcony. Number two, there is a danger that they need to be rescued from. We all know what would have happened if that child would have slipped and fallen those 4 stories to the sidewalk below. I shudder to think. But that child would have died. And there is dangers all around, and there's dangers that cause us to want to help others to be rescued. So there has to be someone that needs rescued. There has to be a danger that they need to be rescued from. And then there is a person that we label the rescuer, the person that does the good deed, the person that lays aside their own safety and their own well-being, and they risk their life for someone else. There's a biblical term that we use from time to time, and that term is not just a rescuer, but a savior. There has to be a savior for every good rescue. You know, you and I don't set out to become rescuers or heroes. When we're growing up and they ask us, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I want to walk down the sidewalk one day and climb a 4-story building and rescue a child. You can't plan on those things. Or you don't wake up one morning and say, wow, I feel pretty brave today. I'm going to go rescue someone. It doesn't quite work that way. Except for, that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus knew that he was going to be a rescuer. He knew that he was going to be the Savior of the world. And not only did he in an instant lay down his life, but he planned ahead to do the will of the Father, to lay down everything that he had known as the Son of Almighty God, leaving the portals of heaven and the throne room of God. He made his way to this earth to become our Savior. Amen. He gave his life willingly. Amen. The man who climbed the building, he risked his life. He didn't know the outcome. I think he had the confidence enough in his own agility and ability to climb that he tackled that four-story building. But he really didn't know if he would slip and fall and die. What's incredible about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is he knew he would die, and yet he rescued you and I anyway. He knew that he would be laying down his life in a horrific fashion known as crucifixion, and yet he did it willingly for you and for me. That is the greatest rescue story of all time. All around us, people are lost. At work, at school, when you're sitting in traffic, at the store, when you're waiting in line, and Walmart will not open another checkout line, and you're just standing there looking around at all these people. I didn't say strange people, but they're people. Many of those people are lost. The problem is, in our day and age and in our society, with all of the intelligence that we have some problems. And the problem is there's a lot of people who are lost. In fact, we could probably divide them up into maybe three categories of people. Three types of lost people today. Number one, there's ignorant people. I don't mean they're stupid or they're dumb or they don't pass an IQ test. I just mean these are people who are lost, but they don't know it. They're in danger, but they don't realize it. They're ignorant of the danger, or you could call them unaware of the danger or uninformed. I heard one pastor say this. He said the problem with our society today is not trying to get people saved. It's trying to find people who are lost. Because most people, a lot of people, don't even realize they're lost. In fact, these people have bought into a myth. And maybe someone here has bought into that myth as well. And let me tell you what it is. They have this thinking in their mind that God is a good God, which that's great. God is a good God. All the time, God is a good God. But because God is a good God, everybody is going to go to heaven. Because a good God wouldn't send people to hell, would he? The problem with that thinking is we are defining the goodness of God by our own understanding of goodness. And we're forgetting the justice of God. You see, justice demands that there be penalty for sin. And God will never thwart justice. God cannot and will not allow himself to bend the rules of right and wrong. It's not mixed up in his eternal marketplace. It's not messed up in the way that he looks at the world that he has created. He created the world, and then there was sin and defiance and wrong, and that wrong has to be penalized. God is a good God, but he's also at the same time a just God. And God's dedication to justice demands a sacrifice for that sin, for that wrong. And God's love for humanity delivers that sacrifice. So let me put it to you this way. The love of God delivers what the justice of God demands. That's how God can be good and just at the same time. That's how he can be the Savior of the world and the ruler of the world at the same time. That's how God can welcome people into heaven because he sent his only son to die on the cross for their sins. And at the same time, that just and holy God can send people into damnation because he is just as much as he is good. It reminds me of the story of a man who was caught in the middle of a huge flood. I don't know that this story is exactly true, but it illustrates the point. His street began to flood with water, and it began to creep up his driveway into his garage. And he was standing there in his garage looking at this water that was coming out of nowhere because of the storm. And he saw a four-wheel drive truck making waves, literally, down his street. And the driver of the truck saw him standing in his garage and stopped and said, "Hey, would you like for me to give you a lift so you can get out? I mean, there's more water coming. It's not over yet." The man said, "No thanks, I'm going to be just fine. God's going to help me." I said, "Okay, I'm getting out of here." And he took off in his truck. Literally moments later, the water began to rise even further. It began to flood the first floor of this man's house. Just about an hour later, he was forced into the upstairs of his house. And on the second floor, he was looking out his window when this time he saw a boat making its way down his street. The water was much, much deeper now. And the driver of the boat saw the man in the window and waved at him and hollered at him and said, "Hey, I'll pull close and you can get in the boat and I'll rescue you. I'll take you to safety." The man said, "No thanks. I'm going to be just fine. God's going to help me out." Well, the water continued to rise. Not only did it flood the first floor, it flooded the second story of the house, and it made its way all the way up to the eaves. And the man got out the window, climbed up on the edge of his roof, and made his way to the peak of this roof. And he was sitting there looking at the water all around him, and all of a sudden he heard a helicopter. A helicopter had been sent by the Coast Guard to rescue people stranded on their roofs. And sure enough, the pilot saw him, extended a rope down to him, and said over the speaker system, "Hey, grab the rope, tie yourself on, I will take you to safety." The man said, "No thanks, I'm going to be just fine, God's going to help me." A few minutes later, he was swept away and he drowned. He found himself in heaven, and his first question to the Lord was, "Lord, I trusted in you. I prayed to you. Why didn't you help me?" And God said, "Well, I tried three times. I sent you a truck and I sent you a boat and I sent you a helicopter. What more do you need?" Now, that man was pretty ignorant. The truth is, there's a lot of people that we rub shoulders with that don't even know they're lost. They think they have life figured out. They think they know what's going to happen next. They think they have God figured out. And they're not reading his word. And they don't know who he is. And they don't know how just he is. And they don't even know how loving he is. The love of God delivers what the justice of God demands. There's another group of people in our world today, and you've probably met someone like this. Hopefully you don't fall in this category, but these aren't the ignorant. These are the arrogant. These are the people who don't want to be rescued. Not because they misunderstand it. They know who God is. They grew up in church. They've heard messages. They've even read God's word. They've even sung Sunday school songs and have them embedded in their memory. But they don't care. These are the group of people, and it's hard to believe, but they see the danger and they convince themselves that it really won't be that bad. You can describe them with other terms such as haughty or self-sufficient or proud or superior, overconfident, supercilious. There, I used a word from my vocabulary lesson in fifth grade. Egotistical, big-headed. These are the arrogant of our world. And you know what? My heart is burdened for these people just as well, because they think they know what they are doing and they don't. In North Carolina, we don't really become that obsessed with hurricanes. In fact, I don't even know if we track the ones that are named out there in the ocean. But when I lived in Florida, I had several apps on my phone that helped me to track hurricanes because it was a big deal. When you live in Florida or anywhere along the coast, really, whenever there's a threat of a hurricane and a storm is named and it begins, you see those tracking patterns, you begin to watch it. Where is it going to go? Is it going to turn? Is it going to move? Is it going to hit where I live? And as soon as a storm would be projected to hit on the coast of Florida where we lived, we would start making plans. We'd have to make several plans because we didn't know what was going to happen. But we would plan if we had to evacuate, we're going to do this. If it's only this level of a storm, we're going to do this. And we had all these contingency plans. But there was always a group of people who, no matter how horrible it looked on the tracking app, they had this hurricane macho mentality. You guys from Hope Sound, you know what I'm talking about. No matter what, they're going to ride out the storm. I've lived here for 30 years. I haven't moved out of my house yet. Nobody can make me. Sheriff's office tries to do an evacuation, and they say, hey, only way to get me out is to arrest me. Well, sometimes that works, but sometimes it doesn't. In 1969, in the state of Mississippi along the coast, there's a group of people who were having actually a hurricane party. The storm was named Camille, and if you've known anything about the storm, when it finally hit, it was the most high-powered winds ever recorded of a hurricane that's hit land in the United States. These people at this party were not ignorant of the dangers. They had heard the news. They knew it was coming. In fact, it had grown dark outside, and they knew a storm was on its way. But they didn't do anything about it. And we don't know exactly what was going through their minds because they didn't survive the storm. All we know is this, the police chief of that town pulled up into this kind of a high-rise apartment structure. And he called out, maybe blew his horn or did his siren or something. He saw lights on. He saw people moving. And this guy came out on the balcony with a beer in his hand. And, what do you want? Don't you know a storm's coming? The police chief said. You need to evacuate now. And while he was talking, another man came out on the balcony and he looked at the police chief and he said, hey, this is my property. I own this place. You can't get me to evacuate unless you arrest me. Well, the police chief didn't arrest him or anyone else that night. But he did take the time, and it took a few moments. He walked into the building and he said, listen, you need to tell me your names and you need to tell me your next of kin. There were 20 people in that room having a grand old time. They laughed at him. He said, no, I want to know who you are and I want to know your next of kin. He took a few moments and he wrote down their names. He wrote down their next of kin. He said, you need to evacuate. They told him no again. They laughed in his face and he walked out. A few hours later at 10:15 p.m., when the front wall of that storm came ashore, the scientists had clocked Camille's wind speed at over 205 miles per hour. Raindrops hit with the force of bullets, and the waves off the Gulf Coast crested between 22 and 28 feet high along the coast. News reports later showed that the greatest spot of damage was in that town right on the coast. And that three-story upper-class apartment building was leveled clear to the ground. There was only a foundation left. And those 20-some people died. They didn't die because they didn't have a chance of escape. They didn't die because they didn't know what was going on. They didn't die because they were oblivious to the storm that was raging outside that building. They died because of their own arrogance. And they died because they thought they knew better than the storm, or they thought they knew better than God. We need to pray for those people around us. We need to be their friend if it's at all possible. But truthfully, it's hard to get through to an arrogant person and rescue them. There's a third type of people, not only the ignorant and the arrogant. There's another type of people that you and I need to make sure we reach out to. And those are the despondent. These are the people who, they know they're lost. They know that something is going wrong in their life, but they don't know what to do about it. They're discouraged, they're desperate, they're bleak, it's hopeless. They know they need to be rescued, and they know of the danger that is coming upon them, but they don't know of a rescuer. They don't know of a savior. They're unaware of where the rescue will come from. Back in 2010, the whole world was transfixed by a mining explosion and collapse in Chile, the country of Chile. Do you remember that? There were 33 miners caught in, trapped underground. I think it was 2,300 feet underground. That was the beginning of August. Nearly a month later, that was August the 2nd when the mine collapsed, and they were trapped in one of these areas. August the 22nd, number of weeks later, they finally were able to drill a small probe down, and they found them, and a note came back up from the miners saying, "We're alive, all 33 of us." Well, the next day, they sent another probe down, and they began to send water and food, and we found them, we found them, we found them. And now the huge rescue work would begin. They began, on September the 3rd, they began to drill a large hole. This is their first plan. This was plan A. But they began to formulate some other plans. Plan B was a large boring machine that was 12 inches wide. And plan C was a machine that had a boring size quite a bit bigger than that, that they could put a capsule down that could fit a person, could fit a man. So they began to drill on September the 3rd. By the time they reached the miners, it was September the 17th. The problem was the hole was the plan B. It was only 12 inches wide, and now they had to work on widening that hole to get the miners out. They began to bore that larger hole. They started the drilling, and it was not until October the 9th that they finally broke through. They took a day or two to work on the equipment, make sure it was safe, make sure they had all the contingency plans in place. And October the 12th, the rescue began. And one by one, youngest to oldest, these men squeezed themselves into this tiny mining capsule and were pulled to the surface to be united with their families. October the 13th, the last miner was rescued. He was the foreman. He stayed until the very end. But think about this. How would you like to be caught in a cave for more than 2 months? Now, the last part of that was probably at least workable because you knew the rescue was on. The rescuers were on their way. You knew that help was coming. You had already been in communication with the team up top that was going to rescue you. But from August the 2nd until August the 22nd, they didn't know. They were in the darkness of the depths of the earth. They were in a place where despondency and depression just flooded their minds and their emotions. I don't know how they made it. I don't know if I would have made it. I don't know if you would have made it. But they kept their spirits up and they rationed their food and they rationed their water. And they lived to tell about it because they were rescued. These miners in this whole operation weren't ignorant. They knew all about it. They weren't arrogant. They knew they needed to be rescued. But they also knew that the mining company that they worked for would spare no expense to do everything they could to rescue them. That's where you and I come in. We need to tell the world that there is an escape from the despondency of life. There is an escape from the treachery of sin. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Jump down to verse 9, and here's where we find what we need to share. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus Christ, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. This is the greatest rescue story ever told. And this is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is greater than your problems. He is greater than your difficulties. He's greater than your depression and your disease. He's greater than your sin. And he is waiting to rescue you as a Savior would and give you the hope of eternal life. I want the guys to come back and sing two more songs. You listen to the messages of these songs that they sing.
Jesus, your Keep playing for just a moment if you don't mind. Our whole service this morning is concentrated around Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I would be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to turn your life to Him. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. I want to pray for you. But while I'm praying, if you need to pray, this altar right here is open. And I don't know what your tradition is at your church, but we just invite you to come forward, and we will be here to meet you and pray with you. We would love to pray with you and help you to turn your life over to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is there anyone like that this morning? While I pray, you can slip out and come forward and pray. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your presence we felt in this service today. Thank you for the hope of heaven that we have because you died on the cross, because you are the Savior of the world. Lord, we love you today. And in this congregation, Lord, there may be someone who does not know you, has not committed their life to you. Maybe they've been ignorant of it. They don't realize that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Or maybe they've been somewhat arrogant in their life and they think they have it all together and yet things are unraveling. Maybe there's someone here today, Lord, that's despondent and they don't know where to turn and what to do next. Lord, may they turn to you in this hour. May they confess their sins to you and ask you for forgiveness and turn their life over to you, asking you to be their Lord, their Savior, and their rescuer. Lord, we praise you for what you've spoken to our hearts this morning, and we pray that your name would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone want to pray this morning? Amen. Amen. I'm going to have them sing one more song in a moment. Thank you for kind of working with us and singing these songs that bring honor to the Lord. I want the ushers to come, and I want them to sing a song while the ushers are taking up an offering. This offering is going to Union Bible College and to this group and their expenses, and we thank them so much for coming our way. I know they're going to be here for youth camp this week, but thank you for ministering to us this morning. Sing another song as the gentlemen take up the offering this morning.
With many things, God's been so good to me. I have family and friends who share in all I do.
But if I lose it all,
there's nothing this world worth living for. It only leaves you empty and longing for more. He's the only reason I live, but oh, what a reason. You see, there's nothing in this world worth living for. It only leaves you empty and longing for more. He's the only reason I live. Jesus is the reason I live. He's the only reason I live. But oh, what a
amen. Thank you. Hopefully your eyes are fixed on Jesus this morning. Guys, I want to give you a chance to go to the back. The Union Bible College has some stuff back there on the table if you want to find out more about the college in Indiana, near Westfield, Indiana. We encourage you to do that. Most of you know about UBC, especially with Abby and Eric Vasquez attending there, and we're very proud of them. And so if you want to find out more about that, you can do that. Why don't you stand? I'm going to ask Ron Coleman to lead us in prayer as we close this service, and then be friendly and shake hands with one another as you leave. Brother Ron Coleman.